Okay, now I want to cover something in Galatians. It's going to help us understand even more. Now, the way we have it translated here in the Faithful Version, so let's go to Galatians, is the best translation of any of the modern translations, and it corrects the mistakes of the King James Version. Okay? And so, one of the hardest things for Protestants to understand is that there are actually two laws of Moses as presented by the Jews. That's why you need the book, Judaism, Revelation of God or a Religion of Men. Because Judaism calls all their traditions, which we have a whole appendix listing hundreds and hundreds of their laws from the Code of Jewish Law. And it is a religion of men. And very, very few people really understand that the rabbi must be obeyed. Whatever he says, you do. And very few people realize that even the rabbis brag that what the rabbis decide, God must accept. So they don't want you to know how absolutely abominable that Judaism is. Now, it's evolved substantially from the time of the Apostle Paul. And the central issue here in Galatians 2 is how you are made right with God. Okay? How do you have sin forgiven? The Old Testament, they could have sin forgiven to the temple if they offered a certain offering. Judaism, you have to do much like Catholicism. Catholicism, if you go confess your sins, then the priest tells you, well, go do 200 Hail Marys and 500 Our Fathers. Okay? The Jews have works that they have to do that make them right. And it's all reduced to physical things. Now, okay, let's begin, instead of Galatians 2, let's begin here in Galatians 1. This is essential for us to know because every time someone finds out about the holy days, they say, well, those are only rituals. Or, well, that's only for the Jews. And so, therefore, they don't even study the Old Testament to know what it says, so they don't know what is in it. So this is why Paul is so important, because he is one of the main ones to let us know about Judaism. And we also need to know that the whole society of Jews, especially in Jerusalem, were all caught up in the law of rituals. Yes, they had the Sabbath and the holy days, that's true. But as James said to Paul when he came up, look at all the thousands that believe and are zealous of the law. So he counseled him, was a political move, which Paul should not have done. But he did it. And the whole episode recorded there in Acts 21, 22, 23, 24, etc., are all important in understanding that you can't mix Judaism with Christianity. And that Judaism's version of the law of Moses is not talking about the law of Moses in the Bible. Because remember, Jesus said to the Pharisees, and remember, the rabbis in Judaism today are direct descendants, literally, and scripturally, of the Pharisees. They admit it themselves. Okay? Jesus said to the Pharisees, had you believed Moses, the one in the Bible, you would have believed me. But because you did not believe him, you do not believe me. Well, now, the Pharisees were saying, we believe Moses, our version of it. So it's hard to get to those in Judaism. All right, today, because Protestantism has put away the whole Old Testament and all the laws of God based upon especially the misunderstanding of Galatians, the second chapter, and a complete lack of knowledge of Judaism. And so I've seen how many people email me and write me and question me about Galatians 2 and how that Paul did away with the laws of God and how that if you try and keep the commandments, you are seeking to justify yourself by law. That's not true. See? The simple question is, can we be sinners and enter the kingdom of God? The answer is no. Sin is a transgression of the law, which means then we should not be breaking the laws and commandments of God, but we should be keeping them in the spirit as Jesus taught and as Paul taught. So Paul has to make this impassioned plea with the Galatians. Now, Galatians is the most complicated book of all the epistles that Paul wrote. So let's begin here, chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm astonished that you are so quickly being turned away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, let's understand something. Grace comes from God, and grace defines our relationship with God. We've always been taught that grace is the forgiveness of sin. No, that's not quite true. Grace is the basis of our relationship with God, of which part of it is the forgiveness of sin. Now hold your place here in Galatians, and we'll come back to Romans. We'll be going between the two to cover some of these things so we understand what it's talking about here, okay? Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Now, let's summarize, what does it mean to be justified by faith? To be justified by faith means you're put in right standing with God because you have repented of your sins, you have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and it is his shed blood that is full payment for your sins for you to be justified and made in right standing with God. All right. Now, chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. All right? That is your whole relationship with God. That's what it means to be under grace. Not only do you have your sins forgiven and you are justified, but you receive the Holy Spirit. When you pray, your prayers go directly to God in heaven above. When we keep the commandments, we keep the commandments of God through grace by his Spirit. So we stand in this grace, and we ourselves boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also boast in tribulations, realizing that tribulation brings forth endurance, and endurance brings forth character, and character brings forth hope. So we have the progression of growing in grace and knowledge here, don't we? Just put in your notes 2 Peter, the first chapter, verses 3 through 10. We are partakers of the divine nature, and then we are to add to the faith, virtue, and all of those things, you see. I just been notified I led you astray.
Yeah.
Romans 5.
I wasn't sure whether I'd fallen asleep or what. Yeah.
Romans 5. Well, that was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Romans 5, okay.
I figured it was my computer.
Okay. Okay. Romans 5. I should have listened to the turning of pages.
Romans 5. Okay. That makes more sense here.
Okay. Verse 5. And the hope of God never makes us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which God only gives to those who obey Him. All right, let's continue on here. In verse 5, and the hope of God never makes us ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Now, look, when we are under grace, we receive what? The Spirit of God, the love of God, we understand the hope of God, we receive the faith of Christ. His very faith given to us to be part of us. All of these things cannot be done with law-keeping of any kind. See? Yes, we're to keep the commandments of God. As I said, spiritually, through the grace of God, with understanding. For even when we were without strength at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, although perhaps someone might have the courage to die for a good man. But God commends his love to us, because when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now notice, not only do we have our sins forgiven. Verse 9, much more, therefore, having been justified by his blood. Okay? Number one, nothing can justify anyone from sin to God the Father in heaven above except the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And when you have been justified, you are now ready to begin the Christian walk. Okay? Much more. Therefore, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his own Son, much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. All right, come back here to Galatians, the first chapter, and let's see. What Paul gave there was a summary of the gospel of grace, a summary of how we have our sins forgiven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which makes us justified. All right, let's begin. Galatians 1, make sure we're all on the same page, chapter, verse, verse 6. I am astonished that you're so quickly being turned away from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, what does this tell us? Very important. Let's ask a question to answer that. Can anyone add to or take away from the laws of God? No. Can anyone add to or take away from the grace of God? No, because all of that comes from God. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it, but you can move people away from the grace of God. You can't change it. The grace of God is the grace of God through Christ. That's it. So they were going to a different gospel, verse 7, which in reality is not another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and are desiring to pervert the gospel of Christ, you see. You can't change it to improve it. You can't add to it to improve it. If you take away from it, which you can't really do, but you can in teaching. But notice what he says here. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you that is contrary to what we have preached, let him be accursed. That's totally cut off from God. Now, this strong language, especially when we get into what happened in Galatians, the second chapter, because we're dealing with a problem with Judaism. As we have said before, I also say now again, if anyone is preaching a gospel contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. All right, now you tie this together. For ministers and elders and teachers, we all need to listen up. And as Paul wrote, you who teach others, don't you teach yourself. Okay? We must be faithful to the Word of God, the grace of God, the teachings of the Bible. We are to be growing in grace and knowledge, growing in character, and understanding the truth of God even more as we go forward. So he says it twice, preaching another gospel. Okay, verse 9, as we've said before, also say now again, if anyone is preaching a gospel to what you have received, contrary to what you have received, let him be accursed. Now then, am I striving to please men or God? Or am I motivated to please men? What is the motivation? See? If I'm yet pleasing men, I would not be the servant of Christ. So we all need to think about that. We all need to realize that. Yes, everyone who's a teacher has their own problems and difficulties and sins. We all have to repent like anybody else. And through those things, then, we can learn and become better teachers because we're serving the brethren to help them who are going through the same things. Sure. Now let's continue on. So think about that, okay? Now then, am I striving to please men or God? Verse 10. Or am I motivated to please men? For if I am yet pleasing men, I would not be a servant of Christ. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel that was preached by me is not according to man, because neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it by man. Rather, it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, notice verse 13, because this sets the contrast and the tone for chapter 2. For you heard of my former conduct when I was in Judaism. Now, the King James says, Jews' religion. But who knows what the Jews' religion really is? And in today's world, when all religions are being equated as equal, then you end up with a lot of trouble. How I was excessively persecuting the Church of God and was destroying it, and I was advancing in Judaism far beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more abundantly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Judaism is run by traditions. Christ said to the Jews, in keeping your traditions, you reject the commandments of God. Now, let's keep that in mind. Come over here to chapter 2. Let's see what we have here, okay? Let's come to verse 11, after he confirmed the gospel that he was preaching was the same one that Peter, James, and John were preaching. Okay. Now, verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, now, let's ask a question. Who was Peter? Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And also, Christ used him to make contact with the first Gentiles, Acts the 10th chapter. And what did he say when he came to Cornelius? He says, God has revealed to me that I should call no man common or unclean. He also said that it is unlawful by Jewish law, Judaism law, for one who is a Jew to come and keep company with a Gentile or one of another nation, wasn't even allowed to come into their homes, was not even allowed to eat in the same room. It was a racist, exclusive religion with contempt and hatred. And in most cases, when you get into the inner sanctum of Judaism today, it still is. All right. What happened after he taught all in the household of Cornelius? They believed and the Holy Spirit came on them. And all the Jews that were with Peter were astonished, right? You can read this in Acts, the 10th chapter. Why did God do that? Well, a lot of people today say that shows you don't have to be baptized. Well, if you're not baptized, you don't belong to Christ. And if you don't have the right covenant baptism, you don't belong to Christ. You may belong to a church, you see. But see, there's the dividing line. The dividing line is God's way and no other way. And Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? Now then, what happened after they saw that the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues? Peter said, who can forbid water? Because the mindset of the Jews, even in the church, was that unless the Gentiles were circumcised physically, they couldn't be in the church. So this was powerful. This was historic. This was really earth-shaking. What happened there? So after that, he stayed with them another 4 days. So he was there 5 days altogether. So when he came back to Jerusalem and the elders there heard that the Gentiles had received the gospel, the elders asked Peter, what did you do? You went into men uncircumcised. Because they, even of the church, were not going to allow it. That's why it had to be through Peter. That's why it had to be done this way. All right, now, with that background, let's come here to Galatians 2 and verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be condemned. And this is in the scripture for a very important point. It doesn't matter who people think the minister or apostle is. Not even he can change what God has done. And where he emphasized here, pleasing men. This has to do with the politics that were being carried out here. Now, here's what happened. Verse 12. For before certain ones came from James, James was the half-brother of Jesus and was the apostle over the Jerusalem church. He was eating with the Gentiles. However, when they came, he drew back and separated himself from the Gentiles, being afraid of those of the circumcision party. Because there were those coming from James saying that you can't eat with Gentiles, not even those in the church. So you see, the hardest attitude for Jews to come to is an attitude that Judaism and the ways that they have done are completely contrary to the will of God. That's the hardest thing to happen. Most people, when they meet a Jew says, I'm a Jew. Well, why do they do that? I don't know. Maybe they think there's some superiority to it. But if you reject Christ, what superiority do you have in anything? Nothing. Okay? I suppose I should answer back and say, I'm a Gentile.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Politics. He was trying to please men. Like Paul said, if you please men, you're not going to please God. Trying to please the ones coming from Jerusalem. So there would be a good report coming from them back to James that we were there with Peter, and oh, we saw how good he was. Okay? Verse 13, and the rest of the Jews joined him in this hypocritical act, insomuch that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. I mean, this, you know, everyone today who saw the Netanyahu Obama set two on television, where Netanyahu was telling Obama what to do, what they wouldn't do, because Obama turned around and was very disgraceful to Netanyahu, and when they were talking, he didn't want to talk anymore because he didn't like the subject that Netanyahu was bringing up, and so he said, well, I'm running off to dinner. Left him standing. Okay? Well, here we have a reverse situation, you see. Barnabas was a Levite. Peter was a Galilean. We don't know from what tribe. So here come the Jews from Jerusalem coming down to visit during one of the feast days in Antioch. And now we have this division going on. Now, what if this took root in the church? And stop and think about it today. Do we have root things taking place in the church that shouldn't be? Yes, indeed. Some of them Judaism, some of them sacred names? Yes, indeed. So verse 14, and when I saw that they did not walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter in the presence of them all, if you being a Jew are living like the Gentiles, that is eating and mingling with them, and not according to Judaism, which requires you to separate and eat separately, have nothing to do with them, why do you compel the Gentiles to Judaize? That is, since you eat separately, you make them eat separately, and that is following Judaism. That is not following Christ. There we go. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by works of law. Now, here is that nasty little verse that in the King James says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. They say, see, we don't have to keep the law. However, the Greek here is ergon, nomos. Ergon is works. There is no definite article the before works, nor any definite article before law. It does not read the works of the law, but works of law. Okay? Now, why cannot a person be justified by works of law, though we're required to keep the commandments of God? Number one, eliminate all the works of Judaism, all of their code of Jewish laws. Number two, eliminate all the sacrifices at the temple that used to bring justification to the temple. Eliminate that, okay? What did we read justifies us back in Romans? The blood of Christ, all right? The blood of Christ. Knowing that a man is not justified by works of law, but through the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that means Jesus' own faith, which then is spiritually imparted to us when we receive the Holy Spirit of God. We also have believed in Christ Jesus in order that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of law, because by works of law shall no flesh be justified. Because only the sacrifice of Christ and the shed blood of Christ can justify you and put you in right standing with God. Okay, now come back here to Romans, the third chapter, and let's see how he wrote of it here, how it takes place. Because another error today is that the many of the Protestants believe, once you have your sins forgiven through Christ, you can't sin again. You've been justified once forever. Okay. But notice what the justification covers. Okay. Verse 24. Okay. But are being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. No other redemption is going to work. Whom God has openly manifested to be a propitiation through faith in his blood in order to demonstrate his righteousness. Now, righteousness here in this case means the righteousness that comes from being justified. That is, having your sins removed. In respect to the remission of sins, notice, that are past. Not future, but past. And here's another thing also to realize. Why are not future sins forgiven ahead of time? Because you don't know what your sins are going to be, correct? Yes. And wouldn't we be, of all people, most ungrateful if we felt as though that with the justification, forgiveness of sin, that we could no longer sin anymore. We could just go do whatever we want to. Sins that are past. All sin is past sin. Though you will sin in the future, you can't define that. But when you sin, it is defined. Whatever the sin was, that can be forgiven upon repentance. Okay? In respect to the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, yes, to publicly declare his righteousness or justification in the present time, that he might be just and the one who justifies the one who is of the faith of Jesus. Okay? Now, let's continue on here. Therefore, where is boasting? It's excluded. That's why it does no good for a person to come up and say, I'm a Jew. Well, the question is, have you repented? Not who you are, not what you are. If you belong to Christ, then you're his. It is excluded through what law? The law of works? By no means. Rather, it is through a law of faith. Now, what is a law of faith? Repentance? Forgiveness? Justification? Baptism? Receiving the Holy Spirit of God? And that's all contained in the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. Consequently, verse 28, we reckon that a man is justified by faith separate from works of law. Now, notice how that is phrased there. Because there are good works that are ordained that we are to walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. Keeping the commandments of God. But those do not justify us. No work of any law can substitute for the shed blood of Jesus Christ and forgiveness from God the Father through his sacrifice to make you justified. Now, when you understand that and you really grasp that, then what do we find? All right. So let's continue verse 29. Is he God of the Jews only? Is he not also God of the Gentiles? Yes, he's also God of the Gentiles. Since it is indeed one God who will justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, same operation. Are we then abolishing law through faith? May it never be. Rather, we are establishing law, because now where are the laws to be written? In our hearts and in our minds, see? All right. Now let's come back to Romans, the 2nd chapter. Let's see what he's talking about here. See? Not Romans, Galatians. Beg your pardon. Sorry to mislead you. Don't want to lead you astray twice. Okay. Let's pick it up in verse 16 again. Knowing that a man is not justified, that means from sin, by works of law, but by through faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, we also believe in Jesus Christ in order that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by works of law. Because by works of law shall no flesh be justified, because it never can justify. Look at it this way. God alone forgives sin. God alone justifies upon repentance. No law can forgive any sin. No work of any law can forgive any sin. The law defines what sin is. The good works that we do are spiritually based and spiritually motivated out of love and faith and hope and kindness and goodness and all the fruits of the Spirit, you see. Verse 17, now then, if we are seeking to be justified in Christ and we ourselves are found to be sinners, is Christ then the minister of sin? May it never be. Go repent. Isn't that what John wrote of in first chapter of the epistle of 1 John? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins? Yes. For if I build again those things that I destroyed, that is, the works of Judaism, I am making myself a transgressor. For I, through law, wages of sin is death, died to works of law in order that I may live to Christ. In other words, every work of law to try and make God forgive you your sins is a dead work, because you haven't repented to God. Now, I don't know how many times people do this, but I've heard of people saying, well, I haven't prayed and I haven't studied for a while. Why? Well, because I sin and I just can't do it till I make myself right. Okay? Question, how are you going to make yourself right? Unless you repent. You can't. But notice what this justification really means, because this ties in with Romans, the 6th chapter as well, that we're co-crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live. Indeed, it is no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I am now living in the flesh, I live by faith, that very faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, what happens when you start adding a lot of things to the gospel of Christ that shouldn't be there? Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness, that is, the righteousness through justification, is through works of law, then Christ died in vain. What does he mean by that? If it were by a work of law, then God would say, do this and your sins are forgiven. You don't need Christ's sacrifice for you. But the whole process of conversion, the whole process of grace, the whole process of all of these things together consists of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So, let's touch upon a couple of things that people add. All right? Sacred names. Not necessary. Just put in your notes Revelation 7. How is the great innumerable multitude of many languages, nations, kindreds, and tongues, in the 2 years into the Great Tribulation, how are they going to know how to pronounce the Hebrew names of God? Huh? If it's required for salvation. Not going to. Show me where in the New Testament, because Paul knew Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek and probably Latin as well, show me where Paul put the names of Jesus Christ and the Lord into Hebrew names. not there because it's not required, and God did not put it in there. Okay. Another one. The wrong calendar. The correct calendar is the calculated Hebrew calendar. That's what God gave so we can all keep everything on the right day. There are some people who say you have to observe the moon. No, it must be calculated because the earth, moon, and sun and the heavenly bodies have all been discombobulated in the past, and that's why God gave the calculated Hebrew calendar. Same thing with the 15th Passover. Same thing with the Monday Pentecost. Okay? Now, here's a little mundane thing. The question comes up, and it came up when I was down in Arcadia. How should we dress for Sabbath services? Well, the answer is with decent clothes. Some people have it, you know, you got to have a tie. Well, I wear a tie just because I'm recording this. I didn't have a tie, and some people said, and even Dora said, you look better with a tie. You know, you ought to have a tie. So that's why I have a tie otherwise. But just dress decently. What if you come in sandals? Well, you might call them Jesus shoes because Jesus wore sandals, right? Okay? Sometimes that's necessary. Okay? What about traveling on the Sabbath? Well, how else are we going to get to Sabbath services today? Same way with eating out on the Sabbath. Okay. And then there are a few other things we could get into, but those are the main doctrines that fit right in here. A work of law. You shall use the sacred names. Where is the commandment? Not there. Okay. So you see how important that Galatians, the second chapter, is in dealing with Judaism, and then, as we have seen, you can take and apply that to a lot of contemporary things that take place within the Church of God. So don't let anyone come along and give you a little add-on to the gospel of Christ. You know your Bible, so you know what it is, and won't be fooled. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.